Despite what you might see in the bulletin, I'm Leonard Lead, I'm not Morning Wang. Morning was not able to be with us today. She has a sore throat, so keep Morning in your prayers as she recovers. I don't know about you, but this weekend seems to be such a busy weekend, isn't it? And I'm delighted that you've chosen to be here today as opposed to being elsewhere, because there's a lot. And this weekend is also the weekend of a lot of commemorations. We know about the first anniversary of the shooting on the Danforth. And for many who might have tuned in over the last few days, you might be following the events around the 50th anniversary of the what? What happened 50 years ago? The landing on the moon. And many of us were alive then. Some have read about it, but it was a remarkable event. And just by coincidence, yesterday I was traveling to a pastoral visit. Are you able to hear me at the back? If not, you know what to do, right? Come to the good Anglican seats at the front. But I was listening to CBC Radio, and it turns out that a number of scientists, particularly, were being interviewed, and their recollections about the landing on the moon and how that event affected them and their thoughts, sharing ideas. And I jotted down a few notes because it was fascinating. But I want to share three thoughts quickly with you, because I think this is very important in terms of our faith. One scientist said, "At that time, I felt that anything is possible. Anything is possible." Another scientist said, "You know, when the landing on the moon took place, it removed a lot of my doubts and fears about exploration and about science." And one female scientist said, the other two were men, but the female scientist said, "A lot of the research and a lot of the activities around the landing on the moon provided solutions to a lot of unanswered questions." And I thought, wait a minute, are they talking about science or are they talking about the faith that I believe in? Because I believe, as Christians, we know that through God anything is possible. Through our reading of Scripture, our connection with each other, through all that, through all our times of trial, through our times of testing, we know that being close to God helps to remove our doubts and our fears. And who can argue? Who can argue that if we really study the Scripture carefully, we'll probably find lots of solutions to the issues that we face on a daily basis. But today I would like to focus our attention on the gospel reading, which was read to us by Margie. Specifically, verse 40 of the gospel reading. And it goes something like this. "But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked him, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" My sister has left all the work for me to do. Tell her to help me. Well, in the gospel reading for today, Jesus continues his teaching about what it means to be a disciple. And if you were present last week, as many of you were, or if you listened to Sister Connie's sermon on the website, if you were not aware of this, if you miss a Sunday morning, you can get on the St. George and Young website and actually listen to the sermon. But you will recall that Sister Connie talked about unconditional love as a critical attribute of discipleship. And she talked about it within the context of the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, today we are presented with the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, I would imagine that many of us here today would have read the story before. It's quite a familiar story. You might have put your own spin on it, your own interpretation, and you might have listened to so many explanations of this passage of Scripture. But despite its familiarity, I think that it's worth another look, because the Christian life challenges us to grow and to change. And as we mature in our faith, we look at Scripture in different ways. So I hope that we could review some ideas about the meaning of this passage and perhaps share some different insights. Well, over the past 48 hours, I'll tell you what I did. I actually spoke to a few people, and I posed the following questions, and bear me out on this. You might not have been contacted, but I didn't have a lot of time. The three questions that I posed were these. What characteristics in both Mary and Martha appeal to you? What do you admire about Mary and Martha? That was one question. The second question that I posed, do you think that you're more like Mary or like Martha? Are you the listening type, the relationship building type, or do you like to get things done? I know how I am. And I know that there are many Marthas in the room, people who like to get things done. But there are also many Marys in the room who build relationships. And the third question that I posed, given a choice, would you prefer to be more like Mary or like Martha? Well, these are some thoughts that were shared with me, and I'll go through them very quickly, not based on any order of preference. One person said, I like to help, so I guess that I'm more like Martha. I like to see things get done. One person said, Mary was present with Jesus and building a relationship, and I am probably more about getting to know people and caring for them. One person said, I think I'm a bit of both. Another said, I am definitely a Martha. Now, last week, Sister Connie said that contextually, rabbis traditionally would answer a question by asking a question. You remember Sister Connie in her conversation talked about that. So one person posed a question to my question. And to my question, the person posed this question. Why do you think that Mary sat at Jesus' feet? And then she answered the question. I believe that she was attracted to him and to his message. And she went on to say that Mary liked the company of men, and perhaps she found them more engaging. She was quite comfortable with them and disregarded the social customs of the day, which in fact men and women didn't socialize. Another person said, Martha was an action person and wanted to get things done. Yeah, we covered that. And the last person actually talked about both Mary and Martha. And she summarized it this way. Mary was thoughtful, quiet, meditative, calm, and prayerful. Martha was busy, hardworking, caring, efficient. Who are you? Who am I? Interestingly enough, some interpretations of this passage do not treat Martha very kindly, especially as people tend to focus on the attributed words of Jesus from verse 42 of the gospel reading. And you would recall that in verse 42, it's attributed to Jesus these words, "Mary has chosen the better part." Mary has chosen the better part. So what do we say in defense of Martha? Well, I must confess, I tend to be more like Martha. So these are a few words in my defense, not necessarily, but in defense of people who are doers. One might argue that Martha was like many older siblings who are inclined to take charge. And I hope this isn't personal, if there are any older siblings in the room. But this is a habit that usually develops when children are quite young, and the eldest tend to take charge. Martha was the older sister of Mary and Lazarus, and was probably accustomed to being in control. That's one possibility. Secondly, we know that hospitality has always been important. It was important in the society of first century Palestine, and it is still important today in our homes and in our places of worship. After worship, we'll have a hospitality time. It's very important. So Martha extended what she considered to be gracious hospitality to an important guest. The third possible defense of Martha is that she paid attention to detail. But she paid attention to detail to the extent that she found it difficult to relax and to enjoy the company of Jesus. Have you ever been hosting and you're so busy that you don't really spend much time with your guests because you're busy making sure that the food is right, the drinks are out, and the music is okay? And sometimes the honored guest gets neglected because we're busy preparing. I think some of us are guilty of that. But to the extent where Martha became so frustrated over what she perceived to be her sister's insensitivity and lack of support. And at this point, guess what she did? She asked Jesus to intervene. And of course, she expected support from Jesus, didn't she? And she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Nevertheless, we must bear in mind that at this point, Martha did not get the result she wanted. You see, like Mary, Martha believed in Jesus and wanted to please him. She wanted to show off her gift of hospitality, which is a natural occurrence when we have a special guest, isn't it? And she had a strong desire to do everything right. But here Martha was reminded that despite the importance of preparing for one's guest, it is essential to spend time with them. And for the Christian, for us as Christians, it is necessary to spend time in the presence of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time, as we are doing now, in worship. Spend time in scripture reading. However, like Martha, we must also spend time doing God's work and sharing God's love through our acts of Christian service. Now, one perspective is that Jesus was probably scolding Martha and urging her to stay connected and to place God's priorities first. And we too must gently adjust our attitudes and our priorities. For there may be times when we could get so caught up in the details of our work that we may be distracted from the main reasons for our actions. And you know what? We do that in our personal life, don't we? And if anyone here runs a business or is in any other endeavor, every now and again we have to look at what we're doing and say, are we doing the things to meet our goals? If you're an athlete, you know what your goal is. So are we doing enough push-ups? If our goal is to improve our physical fitness, on a daily basis we might say, am I taking enough steps in order to become fit? For the Christian, it's the same. We could get distracted by all the other events around us that we could lose sight of our God-given objectives. Mary and Martha were both encouraged to listen to the Word of God and to place all they do within the context of Scripture. And despite the importance of our individual and corporate acts of Christian service, we too must see Scripture as a source for all we do in the name of Christ. The people's choice. The people's choice. Who would you choose? If you had to decide on whether you'd prefer to be like a Martha or a Mary, what would be your choice? Given your choice, which one of the sisters do you think is closer to being a model disciple? Is it the one who wants to do God's work? Or is it the one who wants to learn more about Christ? Well, the good news is that we don't have to choose, because we are encouraged to be both Mary and Martha. A disciple is not only one who listens to the Word of God through the teachings of Scripture, but also one who takes action and extends God's love and mercy through our deeds. So a model disciple both listens and serves. Listens and serves. And every time we gather for worship, the Word of God is proclaimed. Then God's people are sent into the world to live out what we believe. And quite often at the end of the worship, what do we say? Our time of worship is over and our time of service resumes. I came across some ideas about real faith for real life. I just want to touch on them very quickly. It's from the author and pastor Michael Foss, F-O-S-S. And he expands a bit on the two foundational practices for discipleship. And this is what he suggests, and I'll move to them very quickly. He suggests these daily practices: daily prayer, Bible reading, and I know we're stating the obvious here, weekly worship, prayer, Bible reading, worship, Christian service, spiritual growth, and getting in the spirit of generosity. He's talking about stewardship, the stewardship of all of our gifts. Prayer, Bible reading, worship, service, spiritual growth, and stewardship, giving. In conclusion, my friends, I believe that both Martha and Mary had a true sense of their own calling as disciples of Christ, and responded to their call in their own specific ways. And the Christian life demands that we continue to discern God's will for each of us and for our Christian community here at St. George and Young. And I believe that we should continue to ask ourselves a few questions. Are we distracted by many tasks, many programs, many initiatives like Martha? Because we're a busy church, very, very busy, lots of activity. So we must every now and again reassess, are we into the activity trap? And I'm sure that many of us find our lives like that as well. We're into an activity trap where we're just going and going and going. And every now and again we need to step back and say, is this in keeping with God's will for me? Because we strive to be efficient. We try to be efficient. Or are we spending time in the presence of our Savior, listening in order to recognize God's priorities so that we may be effective in our individual acts of Christian service? So I think that one of the messages for today's gospel reading is to encourage us to move from being efficient to being effective. Serving God, doing God's work in the parish and in the community that we serve. The good news for today is that there's a right time to listen to Jesus, and there's a right time to do God's work. And Jesus wants us all, as his disciples, to be both listeners and doers. And that includes you, and it includes me. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so, my sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.